At its core, regardless of the lighting or the blankets or the socks or the beverages or even the company, what hygge is really about is well-being. And well-being for us as human creatures is about more than our physical comfort. It's about feeling whole in our bodies and our minds and our spirits. But all of us here have been human for a while, for a few years, or some of us a few more years. And so we know something about being human. We know that this feeling of wholeness and completeness, if we manage to accomplish it, can be fleeting. Here for a moment and then somehow slipping away from us. Just when we capture it and feel whole, it's almost like a memory, as instantly as it's happened. Because as human beings, we can always think of something more. We can always see something that's missing. We always have something to overcome. And this, my friends, is why we're here. We may be finishing our series on hygge today. We may be finishing our month of reflections on healing and wholeness. And yet, it is exactly that. Our desire to be healed, our desire to become whole, that brings us here to one another, that brings us here in the presence of God, week after week after week. Because we know that Jesus is the great healer. We know that Jesus shows us how to live as whole people in a world that would rather keep us deconstructed, incomplete, struggling and striving. So we come, and we come back to find those moments of healing and those experiences of wholeness together in the presence of God. And that is why today we offer you this service of healing. Today, we acknowledge the many ways that we are seeking healing in our lives and in our world. Healing and wholeness from a God who loves and acknowledges us right here and right now, even as we are still hurting and still feeling incomplete. God, who recognizes and honors our pain, is here with us. Jesus, who invites us today to this table of Holy Communion, reminds us that brokenness is part of our story, and so is healing. Today, when you come forward to receive communion, you will also have the opportunity, if you wish, to be anointed with oil, as I mentioned earlier. And you will be offered a healing blessing from Pastor Laura or myself. Anointing with oil in biblical times had many purposes, but when it came to someone who was needing healing, anointing someone with oil was most likely a medical ritual. Because at that time, oils that had been infused with various other things would have been seen to have medicinal properties. So anointing someone with oil was a step in their medical care. But also, the scripture tells us that for the early church, this medical ritual was accompanied by the prayers of the elders. So today we offer anointing with oil and a healing blessing as a powerful symbolic gesture that recognizes that our need for healing is both physical and spiritual. Today we read in John's gospel about an encounter where Jesus heals a man who has not been able to walk. The man has been sitting very close to the healing pools. And according to some versions of this story, the pools that we read about today were considered to have healing properties. At times, as the story goes, an angel of the Lord would come to the pools and stir them up. And when the angels came and stirred up the waters, whomever entered those freshly stirred up waters would be healed. But the man Jesus meets this day by the pools has never entered the waters. He has been sitting and watching for 38 years. Perhaps he was a cynic and didn't really believe the stories about the healing properties of the pools. Perhaps he was afraid of the possibility of his own healing and the change that would happen in his life or his identity if he experienced that healing. Perhaps he was afraid of believing in something and then being disappointed. Perhaps, as he said, no one ever offered to help him make his way to the pool. When Jesus learns how long this man has been sitting beside the pools, he asks him a very interesting question. Do you want to get well? And it's tempting to skim over this question or read it in an invitational tone, the way we want Jesus to sound, as if Jesus is offering in that moment to heal the man. So the natural way, I think, for us to read the question in its context is like this. Do you want to get well? Let me take care of that for you. I'm Jesus. But the man's response to the question suggests a little bit of defensiveness, which leads me to believe that Jesus may have asked this question much more pointedly than we usually read it. What if Jesus asked the question, "Do you want to get well? You've been sitting here for a lifetime and never slipped into the pool. Do you want to get well?" The man responds that every time he tries to go down to the pool, he doesn't have enough help, and someone always gets in the pool ahead of him. For 38 years, people have been budging in front of him, and it's not fair. And he's never once had a chance to get into that freshly stirred healing pool. Perhaps I hear it that way because this is a question that I hear Jesus asking me all the time. In fact, this phrase, "Do you want to get well?" this is one of my core prayer questions that I use on a regular basis, because I hear Jesus asking me this question every single day. When I am caught up in lamenting my own struggles, and even when I'm lamenting the sickness of our world, I cry out to God every day in my prayer life. I wonder, why doesn't God intervene more often in the world, more visibly, where we could see that God is really on our side, making the world a better place? And so often when I am lamenting before God about the unfairness of it all, about the overwhelming struggles and challenges, and about my feeling of helplessness, like there's nothing I can do about it, when I want to blame God for all the problems, I hear from God in my heart again and again and again this question: do you want to get well? No, really. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well more than you want to eat a donut every morning? That's a hard one for me. Do you want to get well even if it means acknowledging your pain to someone like a therapist? Do you want to get well if it requires being pushed beyond your comfort zone and trying something new? Do you want to get well if healing requires you to apologize or make amends? Do you want to get well if wellness means restoring your neighbor first before yourself? Do you want to get well if wellness for our world means putting yourself out there and saying hard things that people might not like to hear or receive. On my best days, when I hear Jesus challenging me with these questions, I respond, "Yes, Jesus! Yes, I want to get well. I want the world to be made well, and I will do whatever it takes. Even give up donuts. Even work for the wellness of my neighbors before I focus on myself." But let's be honest. Most days are not my best days. Most days I say something like, "I do want to get well. I do want the world to be well, but I'll start tomorrow." Or, "I just need a little more time to think about it or get ready." Or, "Well, I don't want to offend anyone with wellness, so I'm not quite ready to put myself out there." And some days, on my worst days, I respond to the question by saying, "I just can't, Jesus. You don't understand, Jesus. It's so hard, Jesus. I'm afraid, Jesus." But here's the kicker. No matter what I say to God in response to the question, "Do you want to get well?" Jesus always says the same thing back to me. "Get up! Get up! On my best days and my worst days and every day in between, Jesus says the same thing. Get up." Now, I have some stories in my back pocket about miraculous healing. And I know that some of you do as well. And I've been blessed by those of you who have shared stories with me where you have, in your own life or in the lives of people you love, encountered miraculous healing. I also have some stories in my pocket of painful, devastating loss. Stories where we have prayed for healing that appears to not have come. Stories that ended in sadness and grief, death, that don't feel like healing at all. And I know that some of you have those stories as well. But healing does not always mean that we survive. Wholeness does not always mean that we are cured or that our sadness goes away. Instead, healing, and I believe this is illustrated in Jesus' interaction today with the man at the pool. This man did not know Jesus, and he didn't even seem particularly grateful for the intervention. In fact, a few verses later into the story, he sells Jesus out to the religious authorities so that he won't get in trouble for carrying his mat on the Sabbath day. In this intervention, we see that healing is rooted in the encounter with Jesus that just for a moment moves us outside of ourselves, moves us beyond the limitations and barriers that we have placed all around us to keep others out, to keep God out, to protect ourselves. That's what really happened in this story. Jesus broke through. Now, those barriers for us look like all kinds of things. Like, "You don't understand, Jesus," or "I just can't do it, Jesus." But those barriers also, they look like, "I don't want to, Jesus." Jesus breaks through those barriers. Jesus even breaks through the barriers that we have defined, like, "I will only feel healed if the outcome is this." Jesus breaks through those barriers and offers us eternal promises far beyond what we imagine healing and wholeness to be. So whether we are sitting by the pool afraid to slide in, whether we are fully committed or not, no matter what our struggles are, no matter how responsible we are for our pain or how helpless we are in what has happened to us, this is what Jesus is offering us. Jesus offers to break through our struggles and our fears. Jesus offers to open up within us the desire to be well. And then Jesus adds to that breakthrough the hope, the promise, and the way to wellness. Healing, before it is physical work or mental work, is soul work. As individuals, hygge might mean to us a cozy night at home in our jammies by the fireplace. And certainly, we've seen it. Have any of you seen the newspapers, the Care 11? Everybody's copying us these last few weeks. Everybody's talking about hygge. And everywhere you can find a picture of candles and fireplaces and warm wool socks and cozy fireplaces. But I want us, before we leave this series, to ask ourselves this question. What does hygge mean to us as a community of Jesus followers? Not just what does it mean for me being cozy in my home. What does it mean for us as a community of Jesus followers? What could our time that we have spent on this hard to pronounce word add to our life of faith together? Beyond the pretension and privilege of pretty wool socks and fancy coffee mugs, what's the point of having hygge for ourselves if we are not somehow working for the healing and wholeness of all people? This is soul work. Do we want to see people fed enough to go feed them? I got to tell you, I'm so inspired and not at all surprised, because this is the way the world works, that it is our young people who led us in this week. Did you know that on the coldest night of the year, of the coldest night in their lifetimes, the young people from this church and the adults who love and support them went down to Minneapolis to feed people experiencing homelessness on the coldest night of the year? Do we want our neighbors to be fed enough to do the work to feed them? That's the kind of hygge that we are challenged to seek as Jesus followers. Do we want to experience peace and comfort enough to stop fighting? Do we want to get well? Do we want to feel whole? Do we want our world to be healed? If so, get up. Take your mat. Feed people. Stop fighting. Offer hygge in the warmth of your interactions with others. Be ready to be changed. Be open to God's surprising and unexpected healing. God's grace is for you. God's healing is for you. God's love is already within you. Amen.